very mixed signals in the labor market. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. 339,000 jobs were added to the U.S. economy in May, blowing expectations out of the water. At the same time, the unemployment rate jumped sharply to 3.7%. So, what is happening to the job market? What do these mixed signals mean? We asked Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
The divergence between unemployment and job gains is explained by the fact that the Bureau of Labor Statistics actually does two surveys every month. And the survey of companies found a big increase. The survey of people found a decline in employment this month and a fairly decent increase in the number of people looking for work. And that combination resulted in the biggest increase in the unemployment rate we've seen in many months.
I was looking through the numbers, and private education and health services added almost 100,000 jobs. Meanwhile, manufacturing and information both lost more than 10,000 jobs. Is there a pattern in there that is saying something about what's going on in our economy?
I think there is. We came out of the pandemic with huge shortfalls in payrolls across all industries, particularly healthcare providers, restaurants, and hotels. Now what's happening is there are fewer opportunities in those high-paying industries. We've all seen the big layoffs, for example, at tech companies. And it's easier to staff those lower-paying jobs. So this is something we often see late in economic cycles. Job growth continues, but the quality of job growth is not quite what it was in the beginning.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabri.
The Senate has voted to approve the deal between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to suspend the debt ceiling for 2 years. In return, the agreement calls for limits on some government spending in that time. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The agreement would technically reduce the federal budget deficit by $1.5 trillion over 10 years if fully implemented. That's according to the Congressional Budget Office. The savings would come from the so-called discretionary portion of the budget, or more accurately, everything except entitlement programs, the military, and veterans benefits. The IRS, which got $80 billion to improve tax collection, will have to give some of that money back. Some unspent COVID relief money will be reappropriated to plug budget holes, about $30 billion worth. And some low-income Americans in their 50s will be affected by new work requirements for food assistance. Student loan borrowers will see the COVID-era moratorium on repayments end. It was first put in place under the Trump administration in March of 2020 and extended numerous times since. Now it'll expire by the end of August. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Here in the U.S., inflation peaked at around 9% last summer, and it's since come down to about 4.5%. And we know how disruptive that has been for the country. Now imagine a situation where inflation is over 100%. That's what's going on in Argentina right now. It's dealing with a spiraling economic crisis. For more on this, we turn to Monica Debol, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. She specializes in Latin America. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Argentina's economy has been a problem for quite some time, but inflation like this has not been seen since the 90s. What happened recently that made things this way?
So it's been a cumulative process. Argentina has been having pretty much the same crisis over and over again for the past 10 years or so. When within that period, the economy, every time the economy falls into trouble, it never quite gets out of trouble. So, you know, the problems kind of accumulate to a point where eventually this was going to happen anyway.
The central bank hiked interest rates to 97%. In a situation like Argentina, do people just not bother trying to take out loans at all?
Well, pretty much. When you have inflation at such high levels, so Argentinian inflation is running at way above 100% per year. it just becomes extremely difficult to bring inflation down because people will repudiate the currency. So as soon as they get paid their salaries in pesos, they will immediately exchange those pesos into dollars. And once that kind of process is in motion, there aren't really any policy tools to stop it. So interest rates don't really do anything.
What is the IMF's role in all of this?
The IMF has a very long and by and large, I guess we can say, very unsuccessful history with Argentina. So if we look back to, say, 2015, 2016, when the former president Macri was in power, and, you know, that was the first time that Argentina really re-engaged with the fund after a long period of non-engagement, the fund there was really trying to help. But again, the political problems got in the way. In the end, the president lost political support and that fund program failed. So that story has just been repeating itself over and over and over again. It's like a Groundhog Day type of thing.
Why does the IMF keep lending Argentina money?
Well, the problem is that Argentina owes the fund a lot of money. And so at the end of the day, you know, the fund is sort of caught in a situation where if it doesn't help Argentina, it's not going to get paid because the country really can't get out of this crisis by itself. And if it helps Argentina, well, it's still in a bind.
Monica DeBole is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.